mention that this is April 29th, 1979, and it's very interesting that Marshall noted the time that he went to India, and I want to note the time when Annie came with Baba for the first time. They landed in New York in April 20th, in New York, and arrived down here in Myrtle Beach for the first time in 1952, April 22nd. And it's all this, and then they remained through to May, I believe, here. And so it's all a continuation. And that is, we're not welcoming you for the first time, but we won't say how you're been here to welcome us.
Good evening. Jai Baba Alap. Let us begin with a very short prayer. In the name of the highest of the high, who lives in the hearts of all beings at all times, everywhere, and who resides as the nucleus of all things at all times, everywhere, Meher Baba Kutube Alam, مظہر نور خدا مرد حق انسان کامل تاجدار دو سرا مہر بابا یو آر دی ہب اور دی سینٹر آف دی ہول یونیورس یو آر دی مینیفیسٹیشن آف دی لائٹ آف گاڈ یو آر دی مین آف گاڈ اینڈ یو آر دی پرفیکٹ مین اینڈ یو آر دی کراؤن کنگ اور دی ایمپرر آف دی ٹو ورلڈس مہر محپور نور تیرے جلوے رخسار سے دو جہاں روشن ہے تیرے پرتو انوار سے دی سن اینڈ دی مون could not have been ever enlightened if you were not there at the back of them, and the two worlds could not have been brought to life if your existence was not there, if you were not there. Tu hai Swami Ram Tirath, tu hai Nanak, tu Kabir. You are Swami Tirth, the great saint, saint of the northern India. You are the great leader, the great spiritual perfect master Nanak. You are in all of them. تو ہے نانک تو کبیر یو آر آلسو کبیر کرسی و لوہ و کرم تیرے محبت کے اسیر گاڈ کوڈ ناٹ ہیو ریٹن دا ڈیسٹنی آف دا انٹائر ہیومن بیئنگز وتھ اے ہیوج تھرون آن وچ ہی سیٹ اینڈ وتھ اے بگ پین ان ہز ہینڈ اینڈ اے بگ بلاک آف پیپر ان ہز ہینڈ دیٹ ووڈ ناٹ ہیو بین پاسبل فار ہم اف یور لو واز ناٹ دیر مہر بابا تو خدا تجھ میں ہے جلوہ گر خدا مہر بابا یو آر گاڈ And in you is God manifested. Meher Baba, surat insan ho to haknuma. What if you have the face of a man? What if you have the body of a man? Human being in this case, you are veritably God. Mangta hu roshani tujhse ae mehre tabedar. Tu ka ae mehro mohabbat ka bahre bekinar. I am just a crave and I pray that you give me a little light out of your universal light. The infinite mercy and infinite love that you have got, unbounded ocean of infinite of mercy and love, please grant me just a little so that I may be able to solve the problem of my life. And that is the end of the small prayer. Any new person who hears about Meher Baba and happens to read through his books, little information that he gets, probably he gets a little startled. Avatar, infinite, universal being, how can I ever think of him, how can I reach him? You have not to reach him, but he reaches you, he comes down for you to your level. To solve all your problems. Meher Baba said, he indicated that his spirituality is very practical. And if it is not practical, it is not a spirituality at all. Now, we have really to avail ourselves of what he has come to give us. He is able to give you everything. There is nothing that he is not capable of. But, as I said, we have not to ask for it. We have to love. And we have to pray. And we have to aspire. And he is prepared to give you everything. The subject that is Meher Baba is so vast that it is always not easy where to catch hold of him and how to express him. In the little time that one gets, he speaks a few words, but let those words be rather comprehensive so that one may not misunderstand anything. There are so many problems one has to face in our life. The burning problems of our life, and we do not know. We have a body, we have a mind, we have a heart, and the problems are real many. To protect ourselves, there is a problem of sex, there is a problem of great curiosity and a great desire and a great longing. And all the desires, all the longings, all the aspirations that are there, I would put it down to one thing, consciously or unconsciously, they stem from one longing, and that is really our separation from our real self. And what is our real self? Our real self is nothing but God, and that is why Meher Baba says, you and I are not two, we are one. And to solve this problem, we have to undergo the travail of all these experiences. But our tragedy is that going through the experiences, we get so much involved in them that we forget for the purpose we have come and the purpose where we have eventually to go. And our involvement into very many things like sex, like money, like trying to search the truth within us or outside us, we really miss the mark. And that is why Meher Baba puts it so clearly that really you have not to do anything at all. You have got to do many things indeed. The many things that Meher Baba tells you to do, not the many things I am prompted to do. And in trying to obey him and trying to do what he wants us to do, there may be many difficulties. There is nothing that is not difficult in the world. Anything that I really try to do to fulfill my desire, difficulties always arise. And the life has not been without difficulties anywhere at all. But we have always to make the right choice. Meher Baba doesn't find fault with anyone. Whether his man is involved in the sex, whether he is involved in money making, lawfully or illegally, whether he is involved in trying to find the truth or the semblance of truth in a different ways, maybe through drugs, maybe through meditation, maybe through some sort of a yoga, or maybe through any exercise. The question is not to blame. But the blame comes when things are made very clear and open. And we fail to decide for ourselves what is best for us. And then we go the wrong way. The right way may look to be very difficult. And the wrong way may look to be very easy. There is a story, but that story may not be very decent, but it carries a great meaning. and I would not hesitate to relate it to you. Once a man was really deceived by another man who wanted to make plenty of money out of this man. He showed him a person, and in all appearances she was a woman, and this man was very much attracted with that woman. Of course, he was a little old, aged, and he found that such a young woman could not be had by him. So the other man took advantage of him and tried to extort money from him, and he was prepared to give because he thought that he would be able to marry this woman. Everything was arranged. The money was all paid out and the marriage was fixed. And all that was so attractive and shiny in appearance turned out to be something else. And this person was never a woman. She turned out to be a man. What a tragedy and a travesty of life. This man put both his hands on his head and cursed himself. He could not go back to the man who deceived him and call for the money, because that man disappeared after performing his feat. So we are deceived in our life in many ways, consciously or unconsciously. And anything that appears to be very shiny, what shiny? Experience. What is the experience? Some light, some exhilaration. Out of a little concentration, out of a little meditation, out of a little hatha yoga, out of a little exercise. And we want always a course to reach the feet of God. Meher Baba doesn't give you a course. Course can never take you to the feet of God. Our life is very spontaneous. It is out of that spontaneity we have to go to Him. And love is spontaneous. One cannot evoke that love out of any course that a man follows, or any study that he undergoes, or anything he tries to learn. Love is such a thing that it is given if we are prepared to receive it. Ek lafz mohabbat ka adna ye fasana hai, simte to dile aashiq aur phaile to zamana hai. This word love, of course the poet says, insignificant word love. Really, in appearance it is very insignificant, but is very powerful in effect. Only four letters are there, L-O-V-E. This love, if it is collected from the whole world, it focalizes in your heart. And if it spread out over the world, it encompasses the whole world. And this is the love. So this love cannot be channelized, cannot be put into a sort of a course, 20 days course, 4 months course, God realization. If God realization was so easy, as Baba indicated, that God was not worthy to be realized at all, if it could be had in courses or through study at all. It is, as I said, spontaneous, and it is through love. God is not attracted by anything you have, not your talent, not your beauty, not your education. He is only attracted by your love. And that real love, really, is, we don't have that love. It is only given by our beloved. It is given by the Master. But we should prepare ourselves to receive that love. A poet says, ek baat samajh mein aa na saki, ek raaz samajh mein aa na saka, aagaaz e mohabbat aap kare aur naam hamara hota hai. I could not understand one secret. I could not understand one thing, that it is you who give me the love, and I am called, I pose myself as a great devotee and a great lover of yours. Of course, we do feel love within ourselves. That is only love in a limited way. I mean the love for God. The love for God at any sacrifice. That love alone is given by Him. But we have much in our hands. What to prepare ourselves? How to prepare ourselves? That is the point. Now, supposing I am in contact with Meher Baba, Meher Baba says, I can give you that love through which you can cross the ocean of life and can go to your destination and realize God, the eternity of God will be within your reach if you are able to receive my love. So how should I prepare myself? What should I do? Again I run hither and thither, looking after one master or another master, looking after one course or another course, and inner experiences. Inner experiences, however, they are alluring. They don't last at all. And anything that doesn't last never existed. If anything I had yesterday and it is not with me today, please know that it didn't exist with you yesterday. Meher Baba is only interested in giving you something. Once given, never lost. And that is reality. The rest of all the things, all the experiences are transitory, and their value, however, for the time being, they may be very enlivening. They are nothing compared to reality. Anything that a man wants to attain permanently has to wait for a time. Anything that is rushed through, anything that we get in a short time only lasts for a short time. Anything that takes long for us to imbibe and receive and attain to is much more lasting. And imagine if Meher Baba wants to give you something once given, never lost, how long would he take? For that matter, you have to have patience. Hafiz, the great perfect master, says, you have to have the courage of patience. But we are not prepared to have that patience at all. We are in a great hurry. Hurry for what? You can go through many things of your life in a hurry. But the very basic things, the solution of the problem of our life, you can't afford to hurry it at all. And you can't afford to come out and ask a question to Meher Baba, where are the experiences? Where is God realization? I have been with you for over 4 decades. Nothing has happened, Baba. What is the meaning of this question? I do not understand. If you look upon Baba, if you take Baba as to be all-knowing, you have no right to ask these questions. The moment this question is ever asked, it means that you have certain doubts about his knowledge. When he is all-knowledge, then he knows when to give and what to give, and your receiving from him does not depend upon your asking him a question. But we are in a hurry and we ask questions, and then we really miss so many things. Now about the inner experiences, Baba has so many times said, these inner experiences I can give at any time. Once he happened to remark, he says, I can turn the whole world, the entire humanity of the world, into mazub. Mazub means absorbed into divinity, all of them. But by doing that, the whole game will be lost. The game that was created out of that whim of God, there was a purpose. Now, we can't enter into that subject. It will take too long to explain. So the game is lost. So I won't do that at all. And for the things to happen in its right way, one has to wait and have patience. Now, these experiences, people have really gotten these inner experiences, for the time being, they really titillate your nerves and your mind. They attract your attention, but they are all temporary. And we have to have that understanding if you claim yourself to be a Meher Baba lover. What is it that I have to understand from Meher Baba? The very basic things. Meher Baba says, you have not to do anything at all. But you should allow yourself to be worked upon by him. And we don't find that easy. Meher Baba says, I have got a beautiful plane. I can just give you a seat in the plane and I can fly you to your destination in no time, provided you listen to me and you obey me and you come and take your seat right here. Now the man follows. He was a follower of Christ, or maybe he was a follower of Krishna. And he says, I'm a follower of Krishna. And a plane never existed when Krishna lived. I will go in a bullock cart. I do not want to go and sit in this plane at all. Meher Baba says, I am the same Krishna, come here now to give you all the facility. Please avail yourself of it, and it will be very easy for you to attain your object in life. But this man doesn't listen. We create obstructions for that. So what we have to do is to just become a little limp and not try to impose ourselves upon him. And he says every moment that you should love him. But a real love is given by him. But by love him, he means that you should prepare yourself to receive his love. And it needs something to do. We are so hasty that we run hither and thither looking after a master, looking after another master or another course. And eventually we find that in times to come we lose our interest and we don't succeed at all. And Meher Baba asks you to wait. And we are not prepared to wait. So how can we solve this problem? This problem can easily be solved if we have faith. And even that faith is not enough. We have to have a conviction. And that is why Meher Baba did not really go into any courses or any defined meetings or congregations. He did have congregations, but whenever he wanted them. And the only thing that he gave was his sahvas, his contact. And out of that contact we have to gain so much. The importance of this contact is so great. But the contact may not give you those inner experiences which you look for. And this contact, now somebody may ask me a question, how can I get this contact, because now Meher Baba is not there in the body. It was so easy when he was there in the body. The difference is definitely there, but we can just have this contact in very many ways. He has left behind a mass of literature, his own messages, through which we can contact. We can contact him through our thoughts, through our imaginations, through our love, through contemplation. And if there is something which you really call meditation, that meditation is only on him and for him. One question was recently asked to me, that I love Meher Baba, but I also think so much of spiritual dying. What shall I do? And evidently, it was noticed that the person was dividing two things, that Meher Baba on one side and the spiritual line on another. And then I had to tell the person that you can fuse both things together. Meher Baba says, I am the way, I am the goal, I am in everything, and I am in every being. Meher Baba doesn't say that I see myself in everything, I feel myself in everything, but I am in everything. So he is there with you. And the great strength we can really derive is that when he says, I am with you all the time. If only we have this conviction in our life, there is nothing to be afraid of. The difficulties will come. We have to encounter all that. And Meher Baba wants you to go through your life and not to turn your face away from life and just try to fight the battle of life, and he gives you strength to do it. And that is the most practical and positive way. Because it is only a game of impressions and nothing else. Our separation from our real self, that means from God, that means from Meher Baba, the personification of God, is only an impression. It is not in fact. The separation is an impression. It is not a fact at all. But this impression weighs so heavily upon our head. Can you compare a man who has some prejudice against somebody? No explanation ever convinces him otherwise, and the prejudice hangs on his head all the time. So imagine these impressions which have gathered, these impressions which we have created throughout the millions of lives we have passed through. Not only that, as Meher Baba calls, the unnatural samskaras, but the natural samskaras at the back of them, from the rock life to the human life, and in between so many vegetation, birds, beasts and all that, and so forth. You see, all these impressions weigh heavily on our head, and yet they are impressions. Impression is an impression, it is really nothing. But as Meher Baba says, nothing is nothing, but nothing exists, nothing is. and so we have to face it. We have to this is just a game of impressions, and we are not able to solve this problem. The beauty of this, or I would say not the beauty but the tragedy of this, is that an impression is created by me by a certain act performed. The act may be mental, the act may be emotional, the act may be physical. Physical action is most, the physical impression, physical samskar is most binding. Less than that is emotional, less than that is mental. So these impressions are created. And it is said that to dissolve those past impressions, we have to do something in this life, so the previous impressions will be erased and removed completely. And Meher Baba has indicated that you cannot remove the past impressions unless you go into certain act or certain movement, maybe of body, maybe of your heart, maybe of your body or mind. But again, the tragedy is this. In order to erase the previous impression, I move my body, I move my mind, I just I create certain emotions, or the emotions come to me. So these movements are there. You are really successful in eradicating and removing the previous impressions. But the tragedy is that in the very attempt, you create other impressions. So you get rid of one enemy and you create another for yourself. To get rid of this enemy, you create another friend. This enemy is removed and another enemy is created. And it goes on and on in a vicious circle. So all our attempts to solve this problem and come out of this illusion, which is created by these impressions, may be a certain purpose. We are not dealing with the purpose now. It is a very big and vast subject. Suffice for us to say at this moment that we are not able to get over these impressions at all. Then what should we do? That is why the avatar has to come. That is why the avatar is there. That is why he comes down once between 700 and 1400 years to take upon himself all your suffering, the effect of your impressions, and to release you from this illusion, this illusory life created out of impressions. Now, did you see the fallacy that in trying to deface the previous impressions, we do certain movements today and then again create other impressions? This goes on and on. So the easiest path that Meher Baba has really placed before us is that you do not bother about these impressions at all. You do not bother. You may not even think about spirituality. You may not even think about God, because all you think will be your thought form. If you really think that you are worshipping that God, I would put it down to this, that you worship your thought form, your conception of that God. God is reality, something different from your conceptions. Now the Muslims come out and say, they call Hindus the idol worshippers. Who is not an idol worshipper in the whole world? I happened to meet a man who was a Muslim, and I was talking to him. He said, these Hindus are all idol worshippers, the Muslims are not. I said, sir, supposing you have a son and you love your son very much, and unfortunately he meets with an accident and he dies, will you not keep his picture on your table and go on thinking about him so much? Will you not do it? Surely I will do it if I lose my loving son. Then in that, will you not be worshipping some form? Is it not idol worship? So he kept quiet. He didn't say further at all. There is no man who is really immune from this worship of a form. It may be a concrete form. The Hindu worships a concrete form, Muslim worships a thought form, and Muslim worships some figure, some picture, and so forth. So we are bound down by these forms, we are bound down by these impressions, and which we really cannot get over. Meher Baba gives us beautiful explanations to say, now we are convinced, and it is so logical indeed, we are convinced by that, and then we know that Meher Baba knows what he says and he means what he says, and then let us obey him, and let us try to understand what he says, and go forward in his Then, what does he say? What has he to say further? Meher Baba, why have you given all this in discourses? Long explanations about the perfect masters, about the samskaras and all that. Now, on one hand, you say so much about the perfect masters, you say so much about the saints, you talk so much about the samskaras, and you again say that you really do not think about this at all, I shall look after everything. And then where was the need for you to give all this in your works, in your writings? I would put it this way. I shall give you a practical instance of my own life in the beginning. All the 40 members that were in Manzile Meme in 1922 all gathered round Meher Baba on some pretext or the other, some desire or the other, some attraction, some aspiration, some longing and some love. Somebody wanted God realization, somebody wanted money, somebody wanted a big name, somebody wanted this and somebody wanted that. And he encouraged all of that. If you want money, yes, I shall make you the king of the whole world. You want God realization? I am the only one who can give you God realization. You want to make a big name? Yes, I'll make you famous in the whole world. Not that what he said was wrong. He said was very true indeed. And I have seen in my own life that whatever he said has been achieved by all those people. But in the way of Meher Baba. Meher Baba helps us in the way he helps, not the way I would like him to help me. Because he's all knowledge and I'm all ignorance. So I want his help. And I cannot impose that condition upon him to help me in my own way. He helps in his own way. So in the beginning, he created all those things and just even tickled our egos in different ways, in whatever way you are interested. If you are interested in studying, going to college, he encouraged that. If you wanted money, he encouraged that. If you wanted God realization, he encouraged that. But I tell you what a beautiful and the way of the master you cannot imagine. All that he created, he destroyed later on. But with no loss to yourself at all. With a great understanding which covered up all your past impressions about wanting this, about having this, about desiring this and that. So he creates the things and he destroys. What is the meaning of creating a thing God has created to sustain for the time being and destroy? That we see everywhere in the world. There is nothing that is created, is not sustained for the time being, is not eventually destroyed. So the same law is put into effect in our relationship with Meher Baba. He does it with you all. But sometimes it becomes very resentful to a man that he promised me God realization, he failed and he did not give me. But he did not give me. He wanted to wipe off those impressions of the desire of God realization to give you God realization. It is not easy to understand. It is, if you think over it, it's very easy. Otherwise, you cannot understand. This is the technique. This is the method. But Meher Baba indicates you have to become absolutely desireless. To become desireless means to become, to just detach yourself from all your impressions. To become detached from everything. One poet so beautifully puts it, Tarke dunya, tarke ukuba, tarke maula, tarke tark. The different types of renunciations. Tarke dunya, I just detach myself from the physical world. I have nothing to do with it. I am a big renunciator because I have renounced this world. I renounced Ukuba, means the inner worlds, the desire for having higher experiences of the inner planes, that I have renounced. What remains next? God remains next. After the sixth plane, it's only God and the desire for God realization. I renounce it. What a big renunciator I am. Is my renunciation really enough? I have renounced this physical world. I have renounced the inner world. I have renounced the desire for God realization. Oh, I am a great renunciator. But that ego remains still. That ego is more binding to you than the rest of all the egos that were there. And what is it? I am a big renunciator. Nobody is greater than me. I am the greatest of all. So, when my renunciation will be really complete? My renunciation will be complete when I will renounce the sense of having renounced all this, the sense of having renounced the physical world, the sense of having renounced the inner world, and the desire for God realization. And this is the exact technique which Meher Baba really puts into function in dealing with all his disciples. He created everything, but that becomes very painful. If Meher Baba encourages me to get myself attached to one thing, and then I become so much involved in it, and then he tries to snatch it away from him, it becomes very difficult. Even his own work. I remember once Baba indicated, do not lose me because of my work. Not that you have not to do his work, not that we should not get detached with his work, because to get attached to his work means indirectly getting attached to him, that is quite true. But if two things are placed before you, I shall give you another example. Once a discussion had arisen amongst the mandali many years ago in Mehrabad. And somebody was so much in favor of Mehrabad, lower Mehrabad. We have to do this, we have to do this. It showed a great attachment to Mehrabad. Not that one should not have, because Mehrabad belonged to Baba, and your attachment would go to Mehrabad. But if there is a question between Meher Baba and Mehrabad, what would you choose? Then I said, I would like to have Meher Baba and not Mehrabad. Mehrabad I love very much indeed. But if I were to compare Meher Baba with Mehrabad, it is Meher Baba I want in a greater sense. So it is that. So even for his work, Baba indicated that you should not miss me. And this is attachment. And this attachment, Meher Baba has come to have you get rid of. But it is not always easy, and it is very painful. All the practices are very easy. To look for this master and look for that master and to crave for these inner experiences and be temporarily satisfied with the inner experiences are all really easy compared to the fact of getting over your attachment. Attachment is your ego. And ego is the bane of spirituality. Dharmayana ashako mashuk hi chayal nis. To khud hijab e khud hi hafiz as mayan barkhiz. Hafiz says, between the lover and the beloved, there is no distance, they are both one. But what is it that comes in your way? Your ego. So you come out of it. One man heard it, he was a very foolish man. He went home, he says, I have to come out of my ego, the master has told me to come out of my ego. So he called his two friends at home and asked one friend to catch hold of his two legs and another his two hands. And ask one man to pull his legs on one side and to pull his hands on the other. A wise friend happened to step into his house in time. He says, what are you doing? He says, I'm getting out of my ego. And he says, you fool, this is not the way of getting out of your ego. Ego means not your body at all. Ego is something, it is inner, it is some attachment. You fool, do not do it, you'll destroy your life. Then he got some sense into his head and gave up the attempt. Exactly similar are our different attempts to get over our ego. We destroy something, but we do not gain any other thing at all. And it is not easy to destroy our ego. There is one way we can really suggest. Meher Baba indicates, he makes it very easy for us. He said, do not think about attachment and detachment at all, but do one thing. You get yourself attached to anything and everything you have in the world, all around you, above you, below you, anywhere. I do not say that you should completely detach yourself. You maintain your attachment, but let that attachment be only skin deep, not even muscle deep, much less bone deep, only skin deep. But attachment to me, Meher Baba says, heart deep. That will solve the problem. But our attachment to various things goes so deep, I do not know, they may even go heart deep. And all our struggles turn out to be a failure because of our attachment. Detachment, by detachment, Meher Baba doesn't mean indifference. Supposing I love my mother and she's lying in bed and ill, and I shall say, Meher Baba says, you have to detach yourself, why should I help her at all? Let her die in her own condition. I do not bother about that. No, not at all. Detachment doesn't amount to any indifference at all. On the other hand, Meher Baba wants you to pay greater attention out of that detachment. Maintain the detachment and pay the attention. Both. And this is life. If we go through all these discourses, there are many, many points which we see make things very, very clear, provided we go through a very serious reading. But if we cursorily you go through the pages and treat by Meher Baba's books something we read of a newspaper or a magazine, we won't get at anything and we shall get confused and give up everything. And even no reading is required. Meher Baba says, you attach yourself to me. How to attach is the point. Do I love Meher Baba? Some say, yes, I love Meher Baba in my own way. Some say, however much try, I am not able to love him at all. Then the point again arises. You may love or you may not love. Meher Baba says, you please me. One of his messages is that if you love me as Saint Francis loved Jesus, you will not only realize me but please me. And to please the avatar is a very great thing. I cannot explain you really, cannot put in words. Who is this avatar? Avatar has his own will. God has his will and avatar has his will. At one place, Baba said that a man who is really hypocritical, God never forgives him. I thought to myself, what is this? He is a man who is really hypocritical in life. He has that weakness. Is he forever condemned? No. But Erach really told me that Baba had said that that hypocritical man whom God never forgives, avatar can forgive. So look at the height, look at the greatness, look at the strength, look at the beauty of this avatar, that he has his will and God has his will. But both do not run counter to each other. But avatar can create. Avatar's will is what it has already set into motion, certain things in which avatar retains the right. God is the substance. And avatar activates the power of God. Avatar is no one, but the same God in the aspect of his avatarhood. Avatarhood existed even before he took his body. He is ever existing eternally like God. He is God. He is no other than God. But having that power of activating the qualities of God. So he can do and undo many things. Can he not give you God realization in a fraction of a second? But he has to deal with the whole universe. And everything that he does is in your best interest. If he does anything for you, he does not want you to leave with open for any reaction. It is permanent, it is forever. As I say, once given, never lost. Now this question of the will of God and the will of avatar is really so great.
Well, that in the early years, how
Baba reminded you of something that happened in your life? And
oh, that was a very funny story. I started telling lies to Meher Baba, lies. You know lies?
No.
I was very young, sir, 18 years old, in Manzil Ami, and on every Sunday people used to come for darshan. Old men, young boys, young girls with their parents. And Baba always had a way of asking me and Dr. Gani, what do you think? What are your thoughts? And we had to reveal those thoughts very promptly and truthfully and honestly. Now a very beautiful young girl was bowing down her head on Baba's feet. And I was standing nearby, 18 years old boy. And at that time Baba asked, and her parents are standing at the back of her. And Baba has asked me, what are you thinking? And my thoughts would be very weird, I do not know. Uncontrolled mind. What are you thinking? Nothing, Baba, it is all right, it's very good, everything is going on, all right, they are taking that. Baba said, yes, yes, I said, yes. Sunday after Sunday passed by, and I felt so bad within myself. He says, here you are, and you are living with the perfect master, with Baba, and telling him lies, what a shameful life. But I could not summon up courage to admit my thoughts in front of not even the girl, but the parents of the girl, you see. And during other time, Baba would say, you should be very truthful, you should be very honest, you should be very open and all that. And I would say, yes, and Dr. Gani also would say, yes, yes, but we continued to tell lies. And it started weighing so much upon my heart all the time. At night I would not get sleep. Now one day what happened, Baba made me and Dr. Gani sit nearby. And he says, you two fools, you have been telling me lies all these times. Oh, I got a shock, Dr. Gani got a shock. Both started looking at each other. What next? He says, what do you think? I do not know your thoughts. He says, not only I know your thoughts you think now, but thought you thought yesterday. And the thought you are going to think tomorrow, I know today. And then he revealed one incident of my life, which is a small incident. Baba could never have known it at all. Baba had never come into my life. He had never known me. I had never known him. It was my school days. I was a captain in the hockey. And Sarosh, my cousin, was there. He used to play a foul game. And I, as a captain, did not take any steps against him. And one day I asked him, took steps against him because others complained about him, and then I asked him to go and stand out of the field in the corner. That was the incident. So Baba tells me the day, the time, the place, all the details of the incident, and I was wonderstruck how ever he could know. And similarly, some other one instance in the life of Dr. Gani, when Baba was not in his life, not known to him at all. And both of us started weeping and repenting of all our lies. And Baba said, now today we promise we will never tell you a lie, but please do not ask what my thoughts are in the presence of the girl and the presence of the parents of the girl. Baba said, no, that will not do. I will ask you a question at any time, you must come out with the truth. I said, all right, agreed. But later on he did adjust. How did he adjust? He asked a question definitely when the girl was bowing down. Every Sunday many people used to come, among them one was a girl. At that time specifically he would ask a question, but the answer he would want me to go and whisper into his ears. See? Very accommodative.
Modification. Is that what you call modifying it?
You are, yes. Modifying. Yes, very good example of modifying. Yes.
Just one minute, excuse me.
Exactly what you said, modifying, it did not occur to me, but it did occur to you. It is modifying. I would have suffered so much if I was asked to just open my thoughts before others. He did listen to my thoughts, but the modification was that he asked me to whisper into his ears. So I was not exposed before others. That means my suffering was so much lessened. This is one very good practical example of the modification that Baba brings about in your life. Yes?
Do you remember what Baba said about guilt?
as opposed to the north.
Yes. Supposing, yes, there is a guilt, any guilt which bites your conscience all the time. Now, Meher Baba says you can repent. There is certain time he gives you for repenting. But do not make a habit of repenting. Otherwise, the guilt is forgotten, the habit of repentance is formed. Do not do that. Instead of spending your energy in trying to repeat your repentance all the time, try to make up your mind not to repeat that error again, not to repeat that sin, whatever it is again, that guilt again.
Well, what if it goes on in spite of your trying to put it out of your mind? What if it continues?
Then try your best to expunge it, to throw it off, to forget it, to remove it. There was a man, I'll tell you a story. For 10 years, he was trying to correct himself. He decided to behave in a certain manner under a certain set of circumstances. And for 10 years he failed. When he was confronted with the circumstances, he would behave in a different way and not in the way that he decided for himself, that I would behave in such and such a manner. And he went on failing. For 10 years he failed. He was at the edge of his attempt. Then he wrote me a letter. "Please, Adi, go and read this letter to Baba and say I do not know where I am. I have been trying and all the time I failed." So I take the letter and read it to Baba. I said, "Baba, it is high time you should help this man." Baba says, "You fool, tell him this is my will. You write to him that this is my will." But when does his will function? After attempting, trying sincerely, wholeheartedly for 10 years, if you have to exhaust yourself trying and attempting to correct yourself, then if you fail, then resign to his will. Baba, it is in your hand. But do not make an excuse of your weaknesses to get a pardon from him, repeating it all the time, half-heartedly. That's what I say, take a decision wholehearted. But I'm not going to do it. Then I don't think you'll fail. And even if you fail, you go on putting your effort all the time. And then leave it to Meher Baba. That is all. Whatever I am, you take me at my face value. Good or bad. At least, I may be good, I may be bad, but I am yours. That is all. Yes.
Is there a value in making promises to Baba now that Baba is not in the body?
Definitely so, sir. That's what I've been always telling. Baba is not in the body. Baba exists all the time. He's universally conscious. And there is definitely a meaning. Baba is not a joke. You have to take him very seriously. He's not a plaything. He's not a toy to be played about. If you promise him, you have to go by the promise. Or people say I give a promise and I break it. What is going to happen? I said, what is going to happen? You take the consequences. That's all. What the consequences would be, I do not know. But there is one thing. That the avatar never condemns a man for always. But if he goes on making mistakes consciously and deliberately, he punishes him, like a father punishes a child. That he does. But the greatness of the avatar, it is not the case with a wali or an advanced spiritually man. It is not that. He can harm you to a very great extent, which the avatar never does. What harm did Christ reach? Could he not have destroyed the entire humanity who crucified him? A man of all power, all knowledge, all bliss. But he suffered himself. He had that sympathy, that mercy for all. That's why Baba says, I am in all. And that's why he feels for everyone so much. I love you more than you... Whoever on earth can ever give such a, make such a statement that I love you more than you can ever love yourself? Has anybody done it, sir? I have not seen it in my, heard it in my dream also. So that is the greatness.
We're not in any hurry to go.
No, no, I'm not in hurry, yes. Yes?
I've come here for the first time, and Baba is in all of us. Why do some of us come here, and why do other people not know Baba?
That's a good question.
Why is that?
I should one day go and ask God a question. Were you here yesterday? No. Why God doesn't grow hair? Why does he grow hair on my head and not on the palm of my hand? When I get an answer from my God, then I'll give you the answer of your question. There are many things. We have to take things as they come, sir. We are not the masters of the whole show. We can go on asking questions endlessly. That's what I say. You can ask many questions, but you cannot ask any question. The question has to have a direct bearing. Now, there are many things we have to just take for granted that they are there. Why do I have got two legs? And why not four legs like a dog? But when the dog looks at me, probably he thinks that I am also a dog. But I have to reiteratively say that I am not a dog, I am a human being. No, no, call yourself a dog. Because I see you as a dog, but I am not. Why do you call yourself an avatar? Bible says I am the avatar. But no, no, you are just an ordinary man. I see you as an ordinary man. I am not, sir. But the dog says you are a dog. I am not a dog, I am a human being. How do you say you are a human being? I don't see you as a human being. I do not know, you lack that consciousness, you lack that sight. Jab dekh na sakte the, darya bhi tha ke katra, jab aankh khuli katra bhi darya nazar aaya. When I did not have the sight to see the whole ocean, Mehru Baba, the whole ocean came before me and I looked upon his only, contained in his body, confined in his body. Because I did not have the sight or the imagination to see that he was the whole ocean, although I was convinced that he was the ocean. But I always looked at him in those limitations. When he went away from my sight, then I start thinking. When my eyes opened, then I could see the whole ocean in a drop. Now I feel how great Baba was, how oceanic he was, and that understanding came to me a little, much later. So we just fixed our attention to one point, and we want to go back from where we have come out. Do you know this? One poet has very beautifully described, you see. And it is true. Just as an electricity has to complete a circuit to come back to the place from where it started. The same thing with us. We as different drops began our life from that ocean. We have got to go back to the ocean. Then where is the purpose of coming out as drops? Why not remain as the ocean all the time? There was a purpose. The purpose was to gain consciousness which was inherent in the ocean. It's a vast subject now. I shall have to just interpret the whole theme of creation given in discourses. And the whole night may not be enough. If the lifetime is not enough, what is a night, sir? One man, a scientist in 1956, when Baba was giving darshan, he stood at a distance. Baba asked me to go near him and see him and talk to him. And I said, sir, what can I do for you? What? What can you do for me? Here is a man sitting there, you call him God. I am an atheist, I do not believe that God whom the whole world worships. And what can you do? I said, this man whom you see sitting there welcomes you. How can he welcome? He calls himself God, I don't believe that God. He welcomes you for the mere fact that you are a human being. Oh. Then he says, how long since you have been with him? I said, 37 years. Sir, what have you gained by being 37 years? I asked him, sir, what are you? Oh, I'm a scientist. How long since? 25 years. What have you gained by being a scientist? Oh, how can I explain what I've been 25 years? The same argument applies to me. How can I explain you in a few words what I've gained during 37 years? Would I require 37 weeks, 37 months, or 37 years to convince you of what I have gained? I told him that. But are you convinced that he is God? This man sitting here is God? I said, yes, absolutely convinced, without doubt. Can you convince me of your conviction? He says. I started scratching my head. I said, this is a very difficult question to answer. I do not know. But I shall try, because you seem to be a sincere man, sir. Atheist or no atheist, I do not bother. I shall try to convince you. But I can only convince you by an example, not by an argument. And what is it? I said, you do one thing. You take an open sword in your hand and come before me and stand and ask me a question. Mr. Reddy, I shall spare you your head if you say that Meher Baba is fraud, Meher Baba is nothing, Meher Baba is not God, and so forth. And if you say that he is a personification of God, I'll chop off your head. And you wait to get my answer. What will your answer be? My answer will be that 100% Meher Baba is the personification of God. Then I shall chop off your head. I said, what next? If my head falls down in the name of Meher Baba, I'll be very fortunate. But your head is also going to go tomorrow. You are going to die. Nobody comes to live here forever. If I die today, you will die tomorrow or day after, sometime later. So what difference does it make? Only a question of time. The event of death remains the same forever. He was very happy. Then I made him buy a book of God's Fixed, made him spend $5. He bought it. He read it. He wrote to me letters. If somebody is being delayed, we should not delay.
He's lucky, $15 now.
He's lucky, $15. He's lucky,
$15.
Did he eventually come to... No, he didn't come to me. He was quite a while, for quite a long time in my correspondence, I do not know. Men have come and men have gone, you know. Yes?
We have to close now at 10:30,
but right.
We've got some music to finish.
Yes.
And then tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we'll all be back here.
Wonderful, yes. At your service, sir.
You said something about moms?
We're just singing one song because this is
Jack, you take me again there.
And they'll have a...